This module has been developed by the Michigan State University Center for International Business Education and Research. The following content for this module was taken from the book A Basic Guide to Exporting, a product of the U.S. Commercial Service. This module was created in cooperation with the U.S. Commercial Service and the Michigan State University Center for International Business Education and Research. To view the full text version of each slide, click the Slide Notes tab in the upper left-hand corner below the MSU Cyber logo. You may pause the presentation at any time by pressing the pause button below the slide. The glossary for this module is accessible via the glossary tab at the top right corner. This module was last modified on August 25th, 2017. In this module, we will cover a shipping your product overview and a success story, Bassett's Ice Cream. Section 1, Shipping Your Product Overview. The handling of transportation is similar for domestic and export orders. Export marks are added to the standard information on a domestic bill of lading. These marks show the name of the exporting carrier and the latest allowed arrival date at the port of export. Instructions for the inland carrier to notify the international freight forwarder by telephone on arrival should also be included. You may find it useful to consult with the freight forwarder to determine the method of international shipping. Because carriers are often used for large and bulky shipments, you can reserve space on the carrier well before the actual shipment date. This reservation is called a booking contract. International shipments are increasingly made on a bill of lading under a multimodal contract. The multimodal transit operator takes charge of and responsibility for the entire movement from factory to final destination. The cost of the shipment, delivery schedule, and accessibility to the shipped product by the foreign buyer are all factors to consider when determining the method of international shipping. Although air carriers may be more expensive, their low cost may be offset by lower domestic shipping costs and quicker delivery times. These factors may give the U.S. exporter an edge over other competitors. Before shipping, your firm should check with the foreign buyer about the destination of the goods. Buyers may want the goods to be shipped to a free trade zone or a free port where they are exempt from import duties. Damaging weather conditions, rough handling by the carriers, and other common hazards to cargo make insurance of shipments an important protection for U.S. exporters. Your shipper or freight forwarder will contract with an insurance company to cover the goods you export. A second kind of insurance, however, is also recommended. The sale must be insured against non-payment. The buyer's lender and other financial institutions named in your sale terms increasingly require credit insurance to cover risks of non-payment. Contingencies include default by buyer or lender, political causes, or foreign currency disasters that put your payment at risk. If the terms of sale make you responsible for insurance, your company should either obtain its own policy or insure the cargo under a freight forwarder's policy for a fee. If the terms of sale make the foreign buyer responsible, you should not assume that adequate insurance has been obtained. If the buyer neglects to obtain adequate coverage, damage to the cargo may cause a major financial loss to your company. Shipments by sea are covered by marine cargo insurance. Air shipments may also be covered by marine cargo insurance, or insurance may be purchased from the air carrier. Export shipments are usually covered by cargo insurance against loss, damage, and delay in transit. International agreements often limit carrier liability. Additionally, the coverage is substantially different from domestic coverage. Arrangements for insurance may be made by either the buyer or the seller in accordance with the terms of sale. Exporters are advised to consult with international insurance carriers or freight forwarders for more information. Although sellers and buyers can agree to different components, coverage is usually placed at 110% of the CIF cost or CIP value. Electronic Export Information, or EEI, which is used to control exports and is a source document for official U.S. export statistics, must be filed electronically by you, your freight forwarder, or another qualified third party whom you designate. EEI is required for shipments when the value of the commodities classified under any Schedule B number exceeds $2,500. EEI must be prepared and submitted for all shipments, regardless of value, that require an export license or are destined for countries or end users restricted by the U.S. government. The U.S. Census Bureau's Foreign Trade Division is a controlling agency for this document, and AES Direct allows exporters to file EEI electronically for free. Often, the SED is prepared based on another document, the shipper's letter of instructions. At least four benefits accrue to exporters who insure themselves against non-payment. First, insurance reduces or eliminates the risk of an actual loss of cash income from the export sale. The Export-Import Bank of the United States assumes 90 to 100% of the risk concerning commercial and certain political risks, such as inconvertibility of currency, bankruptcy, protracted default, or war. Second, export credit insurance allows exporters to provide qualifying international buyers with advantageous terms of credit. When the buyer's lender is unable or unwilling to loan because of risk, export credit insurance from the Export-Import Bank covers the risk and enables the lender to extend credit, in the case that the buyers or buyers can purchase more insurance over time. A third benefit is that a company's working capital cash flow improves when a lender's line of credit is insured. The Export-Import Bank's insurance transforms an exporter's foreign accounts into accounts receivable insured by the U.S. government. A list of qualified participating lenders is maintained at exim.gov. Fourth, a new market's open to exporters where the Export-Import Bank offers coverage. Short-term means 180 days or less. This type of insurance typically covers non-capital goods, components, raw materials, spare parts, and most services. In the categories of consumer durables, capital goods, and bulk agricultural commodities, the Export-Import Bank insurance policies extend up to 360 days. The products must be shipped from the United States and have at least 50% U.S. content, excluding markup. Medium-term insurance covers up to 85% of the contract value and protects amounts under $10 million on tenors up to 5 years. This financing applies to international buyers of capital equipment or related services. A single buyer policy provides credit protection for shipments to one specific buyer. Premium rates are based on tenor, type of buyer, and the risk rating for the buyer's country. A multi-buyer policy allows businesses to insure all sales to eligible international buyers, to whom they extend open account credit terms. Export-Import Bank provides a 25% discount on its short-term multi-buyer export credit insurance to exporters who have an Export-Import Bank or a Small Business Administration working capital loan. Export-Import Bank's popular Express Insurance product includes a streamlined application, policy quotation, and buyer credit decisions up to $300,000 within 5 working days. Export-Import Bank offers insurance policies for financial institutions that may support exporters' sales. A bank letter of credit policy protects U.S.-based banks against losses on irrevocable letters of credit open to finance U.S. exports. For example, when a foreign bank fails to make payments or reimbursements, Export-Import Bank's bank letter of credit will cover 95 to 100%. A policy for financial institution buyer credit protects lenders that finance international buyers of U.S. goods and services for periods of less than 1 year. The policy covers commercial risks at a rate of 90% and 100% of political risks for private sector buyers. To learn more about comprehensive risk policies underwritten by SBA or Export-Import Bank, consult your lender or export finance manager by calling 800-565-3946 or visit exim.gov/smallbusiness. The hurdles you have to clear don't end with the sale and the website. You still have to get the goods to the buyer, who is often located thousands of miles away where different rules may apply. When shipping a product overseas, you must be aware of packing, labeling, documentation, and insurance requirements and regulations. Make sure that the merchandise is packed correctly so that it arrives in good condition, labeled correctly to ensure that the goods are handled properly and arrive on time at the right place, documented correctly to meet U.S. and foreign government requirements as well as proper collection standards, insured against damage, loss, pilferage, and delay. Because of the multitude of considerations involved in physically exporting goods, exporters often receive assistance from their air carrier or freight forwarder to perform these services. An international freight forwarder is an agent for moving cargo to an overseas destination. These agents are familiar with the import rules and regulations of foreign countries, the export regulations of the U.S. government, the methods of shipping, and the documents related to foreign trade. Freight forwarders are licensed by the International Air Transport Association to handle air freight and the Federal Maritime Commission to handle ocean freight. Freight forwarders assist exporters in preparing price quotations by advising on freight costs, port charges, consular fees, cost of special documentation, insurance costs, and the freight forwarder's own handling fees. They recommend the packing methods that will protect the merchandise during transit, or they can arrange to have the merchandise packed at the port or put in containers. If the exporter prefers, freight forwarders can reserve the necessary space on a vessel, aircraft, train, or truck. The cost for their services is a factor that should be included in the price charged to the customer. Once the order is ready for shipment, freight forwarders should review all documents to ensure that everything is in order. This review is of particular importance with letter of credit payment terms. Freight forwarders may also prepare the bill of lading and any special required documentation, including the electronic filing and the automated export system. After shipment, they can route the documents to the seller, the buyer, or a paying bank. Freight forwarders can also make arrangements with customs brokers overseas to ensure that the goods comply with customs import documentation regulations. A customs broker is an individual or company that is licensed to transact customs business on behalf of others. Customs business is limited to those activities involving transactions related to the entry and admissibility of merchandise, its classification and valuation, the payment of duties, taxes, or other charges assessed or collected, and the refund, rebate, or drawback of those charges. You are not required to use forwarders, but they can be very helpful. Some of the larger logistics companies like UPS and FedEx are also freight forwarders and customs brokers. For more information, visit the National Customs Brokers and Freight Forwarders Association of America at ncbfaa.org. They will recommend brokers or members in your area, and they can provide assistance with shipping specialized products. Specific marking and labeling are used on export shipping cartons and containers. This labeling meets shipping regulations, ensures proper handling, conceals the identity of the contents, helps receivers identify shipments, ensures compliance with environmental and safety standards. The overseas buyer usually specifies which export marks should appear on the container for easy identification by receivers. Products may require many markings for shipment. For example, exporters need to put the following marks on cartons to be shipped: the shipper's mark, country of origin, weight marking, number of packages and size of cases, handling marks, cautionary markings such as this side up or no use of hooks, port of entry, labels for hazardous materials, and ingredients. International shipping companies have become an excellent resource for exporters. In addition to transporting bulk freight, they now offer assistance with shipping documentation, warehousing in the foreign market, and in some cases, payment collection from the foreign buyer. Your company should be aware of the demands that international shipping puts on packaged goods. You should also keep four potential problems in mind when designing an export shipping crate: breakage, moisture, pilferage, and excess weight. Buyers are often familiar with the port systems overseas, so they will sometimes specify packaging requirements. If the buyer does not provide such specifications, be sure the goods are prepared using these guidelines. Pack in strong containers that are adequately sealed and filled when possible. Make sure the weight is evenly distributed to provide proper bracing in the container, regardless of size. Guidelines continued. Put goods on pallets and, when possible, place them in containers. Make packages and packing filler out of moisture-resistant material. To avoid pilferage, avoid writing contents or brand names on packages. Use straps, seals, and shrink wrap to safeguard products. Observe any product-specific hazardous material packaging requirements. Verify compliance with wood packaging documentation and makings for fumigation and chemical treatment. One popular method of shipment is to use containers obtained from carriers or private leasing companies. These containers vary in size, material, and construction. They accommodate most cargo, but are best suited for standard package sizes and shapes. Also, refrigerated and liquid bulk containers are usually readily available. Some containers are no more than semi-trailers lifted off their wheels, placed on a vessel at the port of export, and then transferred to another set of wheels at the port of import. Normally, air shipments require less heavy packing than ocean shipments, though they should still be adequately protected, especially if they are likely to attract pilferage. In many instances, standard domestic packing is acceptable if the product is durable and there is no concern for display packaging. In other instances, cardboard or drywall construction boxes are preferable. Finally, transportation costs are determined by volume and weight. Specifically, reinforced and lightweight packing materials have been developed for exporting to minimize volume and weight while reinforcing the packaging. The proper materials may save money as well as ensure that the goods are properly packed. You should hire a professional firm to pack the products if you are not equipped to do so. This service is usually provided at a moderate cost. Because tariffs, port handling fees, and taxes can be high, it is very important for you to consider their effects on your product's final cost. Typically, the importer pays the tariffs. Nevertheless, these costs will influence how much the buyer is willing to pay for your product. You can calculate tariffs and taxes for most commodities to most countries by signing up to use a special database on export.gov. Your company should seriously consider having the freight forwarder handle the documentation that exporting requires. Forwarders are specialists in this process. Several documents are commonly used in exporting, but the ones required in a particular transaction depend on the requirements of the U.S. government and the government of the importing country. Documentation must be precise, because slight discrepancies or omissions may prevent merchandise from being exported, may result in non-payment, or may even result in the seizure of the exporter's goods by U.S. or foreign customs officials. Collection documents are subject to precise time limits and may not be honored by a bank if the time has expired. Most documentation is routine for freight forwarders and customs brokers, but as the exporter, you are ultimately responsible for the accuracy of the necessary documents. The number and kinds of documents that the exporter must deal with vary according to the destination of the shipment. Because each country has different import regulations, the exporter must be careful to provide all proper documentation. Remember to contact your local U.S. Commercial Service office for up-to-date foreign import information. The following documents are commonly used in exporting, but which of them are necessary in a particular transaction depends on the requirements of the U.S. government and the government of the importing country. Air freight shipments are covered by air waybills, which can never be made in negotiable form. A bill of lading is a contract between the owner of the goods and the carrier. For shipment by vessel, there are two types: a straight bill of lading, which is not negotiable and does not give title to the goods, and a negotiable, or shipper's order, bill of lading. The latter can be bought, sold, or traded while the goods are in transit. The customer usually needs an original bill of lading as proof of ownership to take possession of the goods. A certificate of conformity is required by some countries, usually for certain kinds of manufactured goods. Exporters are required to have the product analyzed and tested by an authorized third party. A certificate of origin, also a required document in certain nations, is a signed statement as to the origin of the export item. Certificates of origin are usually validated by a semi-official organization, such as a local chamber of commerce. A certificate may be required even if the commercial invoice contains the same information. A NAFTA certificate of origin is required for the products traded among the signatory countries of the North American Free Trade Agreement, if the goods are NAFTA qualified and the importer is claiming zero duty preference under NAFTA. An inspection certification is required by some purchasers and countries to attest to the specifications of the goods shipped. The inspection is usually performed by a third party, often an independent testing agency. A commercial invoice is a bill for the goods from the seller to the buyer. Many governments use commercial invoices to determine the true value of goods when assessing customs duties. Governments that use the commercial invoice to control imports will often specify the invoice's form, content, number of copies, language to be used, and other characteristics. A consular invoice is required in some countries for certain kinds of goods. Your state government usually supplies this document, which indicates that the goods you intend to export have been sold in that state. A dock receipt and a warehouse receipt are used to transfer accountability when the domestic carrier moves the export item to the port of embarkation and leaves it with the shipping line for export. A destination control statement appears on the commercial invoice and on the airway bill or bill of lading to notify the carrier and all foreign parties that the item can only be exported to certain destinations. An export license is a government document that authorizes the export of specific goods in specific quantities to a particular destination. This document may be required for most or all exports to some countries. For other countries, it may be required only under special circumstances. An export packing list is considerably more detailed and informative than a standard domestic packing list. It itemizes the material in each package and indicates the type of package, such as box, crate, drum, or carton. It also shows the individual net, tear, and gross weights and measurements for each package. Package markings should be shown along with references to identify the shipment. The shipper or forwarding agent uses the list to determine the total shipment weight and volume and whether the correct cargo is being shipped. In addition, U.S. and foreign customs officials may use the list to check the cargo. An insurance certificate is used to assure the cosignee that insurance will cover the loss of or damage to the cargo during transit. Success story: Bassett's Ice Cream Company. When it comes to ice cream, what's your pleasure? Not sure? Michael Strange of Bassett's Ice Cream Company can help. America's oldest ice cream company offers 40 flavors, from French vanilla and Irish coffee to Moose Tracks and rum raisin. We've been here at the same location on Reading Terminal Market at 12th and Arch Streets since 1892. The store was founded in 1861 by my great-great-grandfather, Strange says. It was a pretty local business until the 1970s, when my mother decided to expand by branching out to the Jersey Shore, New York City, and as far west as Chicago. Strange had wondered about exporting, but he hadn't really given it a lot of thought. That all changed one day when he attended a Food Expo panel discussion to learn more about local food manufacturers and to network with executives. As luck would have it, he met a Chinese business person whose friend was interested in importing American products. Strange was then persuaded to ship samples of his ice cream to China. I admit it, I was skeptical, Strange recalls. After all, China's a long way away, but only costs $400 worth of products, so I said, why not? Unbeknownst to him, the distributor had arranged a blind taste test of Bassett's ice cream, pitting it against a major competitor, the renowned Häagen-Dazs brand. I'm happy to report that our product performed quite admirably, Strange says. I was told the Chinese also liked the fact that we were family-owned, which goes along well with their high affinity for made-in-the-USA products. A few weeks after the taste test, the Chinese distributor placed an order for 9 pallets of ice cream in a variety of flavors. This was Bassett's first export. Although elated, Strange had little experience in negotiating long-term deals with international distributors, let alone doing business in China. He also wanted to become a more active exporter, instead of just waiting for orders to come in. If anyone had told me that China would be my first export market, I would have said, fat chance, he says. I was looking forward to doing business in China, but needed to do a lot of homework if I was going to successfully grow long-term sales. He needed a roadmap of introductions to key public and private sector resources, including any export financing. In short, I needed to develop a long-term export strategy, he says. Soon after making his first sale to China, Strange met Tony Sabalos, director of the U.S. Commercial Service in Philadelphia. This led to a follow-up meeting with CS trade specialist Leandro Solorzano regarding my China trade lead, Strange says. He gave me good insight on navigating the Chinese market, including customs and tariff resources, essential market research, and referrals with export funding providers. Solorzano arranged a meeting for Strange with the U.S. Commercial Service in Beijing, as well as the Foreign Agricultural Service, which provided a commercial briefing, local contacts, and advice on establishing a market presence in Beijing. Combined with resources from the Export-Import Bank, the World Trade Center of Philadelphia, and the SBA, Strange's efforts soon culminated in a long-term deal for the sale of more ice cream in China. Now, 6 years later, exports to China account for nearly 20% of Bassett's overall sales, and they continue to grow. As Chinese consumers nibble away on the tasty treat at restaurants, hotels, independent parlors, and supermarkets, Strange hopes to melt away some of the competition by offering newly crafted flavors. For the Chinese market, we introduced fruit and nut-based ice creams and green tea and black sesame flavors to go along with the traditional vanilla. Meanwhile, Strange continues to diversify his international portfolio, participating in a Caribbean buyer's mission in Miami, where he made additional sales and met new potential international customers. He's also focusing on countries with which the U.S. has FTAs. FTAs make it all the better, because the importer is not facing stiff product duties, he says. The opportunities are endless. Reduce risk by purchasing the Export-Import Bank's Foreign Receivables Credit Insurance. There's no way I would have the volume of sales in China right now without it, he says. It costs less than 1% of the invoice, but it covers 90% of receivables. Have confidence in your product or service. If you have a good track record of selling in the United States, that's a good prerequisite for exporting, he says. As my ice cream exports continue to grow, so does my confidence in exporting. Challenge your logistics expectations. Ideal shipping and long-term storage temperature for ice cream is negative 200 degrees Fahrenheit. U.S. common carriers with freezer units rarely maintain temperatures below negative 150 degrees Fahrenheit, which is fine for most frozen foods but borderline too warm for ice cream. The containers we use to ship ice cream to China, though, are designed to hold temperatures well below negative 200 degrees Fahrenheit. Take advantage of all export resources and attend networking events. One of the biggest surprises was the whole array of government and quasi-government export resources that are out there. Be open to other cultures. There's no way I would have understood Chinese culture had I not exported. My distributor and I became fast friends. I take him to vendors and he takes me to his customers. Our relationship couldn't be better. Look for opportunity in FTA countries. You'll face fewer barriers and greater ease of doing business. A special thanks to the U.S. Commercial Service for the content of this module. This slide will take you to current news headlines on this topic. The links will open in a new browser window. You may have to enable pop-ups in your browser. You can advance through the remainder of the slides by clicking the play button. Global Edge offers a number of resources on this topic. The links will open in a new browser window. You may have to enable pop-ups in your browser. This slide concludes this module.